Hi, I'm Pastor Carolyn. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive revelation of God's healing power emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and various locations. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired as you hear the truth of God's Word as it is brought to you by Pastor Bill. Now, please join us as the service is already in progress.
Right here in your presence. presence is where I belong. This old broken heart has finally found a home, and I'll never be alone. I need you yesterday. I need you more than words can say.
I need you more.
I need you more than ever before.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you,
some of the older songs, aren't you? We don't sing these old songs very much, do we? Boy, I remember being a little girl and hearing these old hymns, and I didn't have a clue what they meant back then. But when I got older, and suddenly I could say, Lord, I need you, these hymns started making sense. And when I went through hard times, they resonated in my spirit. At the turn of the 18th century, when America was fighting the revolution to claim her independence as a country, to have religious freedom and not be under a dictatorship, they were hard times, and a lot of people suffered, and a lot of sacrifices were made. And at the turn of the 19th century, there were wars being fought for the emancipation of man and the Industrial Revolution. There were some hard times. There were hard times. And lastly, at the turn of the 20th century, we've had World War I and II and the Korean War, Vietnam conflict, the Gulf War, and now whatever they call this war we're in, I'm not even sure anymore, the Iraqi war, I guess. We're having some hard times. And that's what these hymns, that's what they were written out of, people having hard times. They were birthed out of hard times. But I am glad in my older age that I understand why they were written.
Grace. grace that is greater than all our sin.
Martin Luther said that Christ is the giver of grace, the Savior. His infinite mercy and goodness, freely and bountifully given to us. Grace is God, His loving energy at work within His church and within our bodies and our souls. Grace needs to be the air we breathe and the atmosphere we live in. It's not simply leniency when we've sinned. It is the enabling gift of God so that we don't have to sin. It can neither be bought or earned or won. If it could be, then it would cease to be grace. Thank you so much for being with us in our worship service. Now, please stay with us as Pastor Bill brings us the message.
What we're going to do tonight, for those that may be here for the first time, we're going to have a short message. One of the things that, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, He would go into an area, He would teach and preach, and then the Bible says that He would heal those that were there, that were sick and infirmed. And so one of the models that we've used here is that we have a time of praise and worship, of opening up our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And then hopefully I can give you a short message. And then we'll have a time of prayer. And if you're here tonight and you're in need, we're going to have prayer ministers across the front. And if you say, I don't really want to come up front, that's okay, because we can come back to you wherever you are. But before you leave here tonight, our desire is that you would receive prayer from one of the prayer ministers here. Or we'll tackle you going out the door and make sure that you don't get away. One of the things the Bible shows us over and over and over again is our need for Him. And by the very fact that you're here tonight, you've responded to that. And you said, Lord, I just really need you. We sang a song, I Need You More. And so tonight, as we open up His Word, allow Him to speak some truth to you, and then we'll have a time of prayer. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we will start. Father, we thank You that we can be together on this Sunday night. Our desire is to hear from You. I ask, Heavenly Father, that You would quiet all other voices, that no one else would be able to speak as You are speaking through Your Word, and that You would speak directly into the heart of each person, that they might hear You and that they might respond and their lives could be transformed tonight, that they would walk from this place not knowing just about You, but knowing You personally in a more deeper way than ever before. Lord, may this be the night of signs, wonders, and miracles in all of our lives. And whether we see it instantly tonight or in the days ahead, we look to You. And so we thank You for this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as we begin a new year, I want to look back over what happened over in 2010. We've had some successes, and we've had people healed and set free from sickness and disease. There have been those that have been set free from emotional traumas and hurts. And yet we have prayed with some, and as they came into 2011, they still were not healed. And in fact, some even died. And in my own personal opinion, some died a little bit too early. They died before their time. So what does this mean, though, for us as we come into a new year? Let me, for those who enjoy sports, and I don't know how many people enjoy sports, but some of the men do, and ladies just kind of come along with us here. Let me use an analogy. A coach at the beginning of a brand new season is going to do the same thing with his players, whether they had a successful season or they had a dismal season and didn't win anything. What he does is that when the new season starts, he goes back to the basics. He begins to talk about those things that you have to know so that you can put a foundation on top and build whatever he has in the new playbook. And that's kind of what I'd like to do tonight, because as I look back, as I say, we had some successes, tremendous successes. And yet we also saw that we didn't quite make it in certain areas. And so what I want to do is I want to go back and prepare that foundation to incorporate truths, basic truths, that we need to understand so that as we begin to pray with people or even pray for ourselves this year, that things will be different. So before I hand out your playbook, let's kind of look at some of these. First of all, there is a God, and he is good. That is basic. There is a God, and he is good. He is not evil and can never be evil or do evil. And if you're taking any kind of notes, you can write this down. James chapter 1, verse 17, and you'll also see it in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 4. There is a God, and God is good. Second, God's name is Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. That is a redemptive name. That is a name that will never, ever change. And he spoke that name to Moses, and you can see that in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. I am the Lord who heals you. Number three, disease, sickness, mental or emotional illness are all curses, and they are not blessings. That is very important. Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 15 all the way to verse 68. It lists all of the curses for those that don't obey the law. And as you go in there, you'll see that every curse, as far as sickness, disease, everything that came upon the Egyptians, and everything that isn't even written in this book, was listed as a curse. Sickness and disease is not good. It's a curse. Number four, God wants people well. He wants them healed. He wants them whole in their spirit, in their soul, and in their body. Well, how do I know this? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2 tells me that he wants us to be in good health and prosper. He wants us to be spirit, soul, and body, a person who is whole, complete in every area. Number five, Jesus always healed people and said that he only did what he saw his Father doing. There are many who look back into the Old Testament and they'll say, God is a God of wrath back there. He is a God of anger. He brings punishment and sickness and all sorts of things. And yet Jesus said, you want to know what the Father's like? Look at me. Look at me. And so we see that Jesus said that he only did what he saw his Father doing. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. John chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible also shows us that when Jesus was beaten and he was whipped and he was crucified, not only did he deal with man's sin, but the Bible says that he also dealt with the curse of sin, disease, sickness, and emotional illness. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, he became a curse for us and took all of that upon himself. And after Jesus was resurrected, he commanded his disciples to teach people to do exactly what he had taught them to do. And part of that was to heal the sick. You can go into Matthew 28, and that's where he leaves them. And he says, I command you to teach these things. And if you went back into Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8, you'll see that he assembled his disciples. He gave them power and authority. And he said, now go preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And so that command has what was given to his disciples. And the Bible does not say that that command was ever changed after the last apostle died. So after John the apostle on the Isle of Patmos died, suddenly the power wasn't lifted up, because we see that the early church continued on and continued on. And today we see it too, even though there are those that say, no, it stopped back there, because they aren't seeing it in their own midst. Number 9, God can bring healing through his word as it is confessed, memorized, and meditated upon. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destructions. Number 10, God can bring healing through another person who prays for them and or lays their hands upon them, the one who is sick. You'll see it in James chapter 5, verse 14. Any of you sick, call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. You'll also see it in Acts 28, verse 8. The reason I'm going over these things is that there's a lot of misunderstanding and there's a lot of deception in what people think, because sometimes they will look at this and say, because something hasn't happened, well, God must have changed. But what does the Bible say? God sometimes will use special manifestations, like the gifts of healing. He'll use faith. He'll use a word of knowledge. He'll use miracles. You can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And sometimes God will require a person who is sick to believe and to have faith, especially if they're a believer in Jesus Christ. You can see that in Matthew 9, verses 21 through 22, and also in Mark 10, verse 52. These are some of the basics that all of us need to get, not just here, but also here. Because when you and I are confronted with sickness in our life, or maybe somebody in your family, or somebody here at the church, you're going to draw upon not necessarily what's here, but what's there. Because you'll go back to what you know that you know that you know. But Bill, why even bring this up? I mean, why are we even talking about it? Because over this last year, I've heard some very religious-sounding statements that seemed so right. But yet, the real question is that what the Bible said? Let me give you some four instances. I heard a statement like this. If God wants me well, he will heal me. Another statement. God knows what I need. If he really wants me well, then he will do what I can't do. Heard that one before? I can't make myself well. I can't heal myself. So it's up to him. I had a person once tell me that God wanted him sick so that this person would come closer to God. And you know something? Because this person was sick, he did come closer to God. In his own life, because of the sickness, it put him into a place where he sought God with all of his heart. And he did come closer to God. But it begs the question then, does God want people sick so they will seek him? Well, let me ask you a question, all of you that are parents. If you have a child, and as your child gets older, and especially in the teenage years, they don't want to talk to you anymore. They just want to go do their own thing. So you come up with this plan somehow, if I can make them sick, they'll come and talk to me. They will come and ask for help. Does that make sense? For me, any parent that wants their child sick just so that they can have a relationship with them, there's something isn't right with that. So is God troubled? Is God sadistic? Is God demented? And the answer is no, God isn't that at all. But yet, sometimes we think that what's happening to us, we can put a spin on it, and it isn't God that's putting the spin on. Who is it that comes to deceive us? Well, the Bible shows us that that is Satan. And he only has certain weapons and tools and things that he can use, and he will deceive you into believing a lie and you thinking that it's the truth. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to James chapter 1. James makes a very simple statement about who God really is. James chapter 1. He doesn't complicate things with theology, but he says, starting in verse 16, he says this, "Do not be deceived, brethren." In another translation, it says, "My brothers and sisters." Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, if you have another translation, it talks about with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning, the NIV says. If you have the New Living Translation, it says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father." Now, let me ask you a question. Who is he writing this to? He said brethren or brothers and sisters. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people just like us. And he's saying, you can be deceived. You can believe that God is something that he isn't. And so James says, I'm going to give you a very simple test. If it's good, it's from God. If it's not good, it's not from God the Father. It's not from God the Father because God doesn't promise good things and then turn and give something else. He doesn't give bad things. He doesn't change like this turning of shadows, what it is, if you've ever seen the sun come across and shadows will hit objects and all of a sudden it's in the shade and the next moment it's back in the light, it's in the shade, and this goes back and forth. God is not double-minded. He doesn't one day say yes and the next day say no. God is always good. He is not evil. Only good things come from him. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't waver back and forth. He is not double-minded. So the statement that I made just a little bit ago was this. If God wants me well, he will heal me. Have you ever heard someone say that to you? Maybe you've said it to yourself. Notice what the verse starts off with, or the statement. It starts off with this little if. How many of you are English majors? Anyone? What does an if start? What type of a clause is that? It's a conditional clause or a conditional sentence. And what that means is something must happen if something else is going to happen. If God wants me well, then he will heal me. And so the question then is, does God want me well? Yes, because I believe that that's what the Bible says. Now, we run into some sticky points as far as I said, we prayed for people and we saw some tremendous things happen. He's also revealed himself and what his desires are. The same question is, does God want everybody saved? The word sozo in Greek is the same word for healing as it is for salvation. And when Jesus said to the persons or the people that were around, he said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk? So that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, the man was healed because of the consequences of sin. We may believe a lot of the same things. It's just that if you say to a person, I don't know what God's going to do, but I do know what he has said. And then it becomes one of, okay, how do I take that into my own personal life? How does it become relevant to me? Because one of the things that I've seen is that, let's just kind of talk about this. Is sickness good? No, I don't think so. But yet I've heard people that have told me that sickness was good. And yet I don't think that's what the Bible says. The point is that people have said God made me sick, and God will take the sickness when a person is in the midst of it, and he will make all things work together for a good. I believe that God desires for everyone to be healed, just as he desires for everyone to be saved.
But for some people, it's just their time to go home and
heal. Oh, yeah, because I'll be honest with you, the Bible says that we do have days that are numbered. But honestly, I would rather see a person go home well than go home sick. And if I could, if I had my ability to just go walk up and heal someone, I would. But God is sovereign. And yet I know that he works through us. And part of the thing that I've seen too is that he will work through special manifestations. He will work through people who are anointed.
So I have seen people healed of
incurable
cancer. I've seen miracles upon miracles.
Okay. Well, it can be taken the wrong way, and people can get very offended at God. But also, that's why I'm trying to say, are we looking at him and what he says? Because as I was going to end this thing, basically, it's this. The basic foundation that we have for everything is our knowledge of who God is. And one of the things I've found, at least in my own life and other people's lives too, is you can say, well, how do I know God? There were three basic disciplines that some of the early church used, and they've carried it down for many years, centuries. And it was a spiritual discipline of not just reading your Bible, but meditating upon it in the biblical way, where you'd take scriptures and you would meditate upon them so that God could give revelation. Because all of this comes by revelation. And one of the ways that you can receive revelation, the truth of God, not just knowing about him, but knowing him, is through biblical meditation. The second way is through prayer. Typically, a lot of people will say, okay, God, I've got all these things that I'm asking for. There are these things that I want. And yet, the type of prayer that I'm talking about is a type of prayer that sits and listens and says, okay, God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to allow you to speak to me. And then the third way is what we did earlier tonight here, where we were worshiping. Where we come into a time and you can either play Christian music or you can sing to the Lord, or you can even just sit in God's presence. And I would encourage you that over the next 12 months that you would look at scriptural meditation, that you look at prayer, and that you look at worship, so that by the end of that time, I believe that if you do some of these things, you will know God in a way that you don't know him now. Because as I started off, God is good. And we need to know that in every area. The Bible shows us that in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says this, the people who know their God will stand firm and take action. It's my desire you will know him and you will be able to stand against whatever is in your life, and you'll be able to do something about it. At times, I think we may step back a little bit. We may compromise in what we are doing, and instead of being aggressive, and again, I'm not saying this is everyone, I'm just saying that when we know God and we know His Word and we know what He has given to us and what He has done for us, then I really think that we can stand and we can take a very strong action against whatever we find ourselves up against. And so we have been commissioned, and I believe the command is to go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. And my prayer for you is that you and I and others will do exactly that, and we truly will see the kingdom of God come here, but also outside these four walls, wherever you would go, that you would take the kingdom of God with you. So would you bow your head with me, please? Father, we ask that as we come now to a time of prayer, that you will help us as we pray and we reach up and touch you. Our desire is that we would see your glory, that we would see the things that you have provided for us. Lord, we stand and say we don't know all there is to know about you, but only that which you've revealed to us can we then walk in any confidence. So, Father, help us. Help us to know you and also the power of Jesus' resurrection so that we might walk not as mere men and women, but as those that have been called by you to fulfill the commission that's been set before us. Father, as the prayer ministers come, we ask that your anointing would be upon them. We ask that you would bless them and help them and keep them as they pray with those who would come forward. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do is that for those prayer ministers that are here, if you come up to the front, and for those people that are in need of prayer, we ask then that you come up. If you would rather have somebody come back there to you, we'll be very happy to come back and pray with you there.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
Hi, thank you for listening to our program, In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you have heard something that has been a blessing to you, please tell others. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on raphahmi.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries based in Midlothian, Virginia and Jensen Beach, Florida.